us to commence with hymn number 993. O Zion, afflicted with wave upon wave, whom no man can comfort, whom no man can save, with darkness surrounded, by terrors dismayed, in toiling and roaming, thy strength is decayed. Hymn 993.
Thank you. From the sacred and holy word of God, we will read this evening the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 22. Gospel according to Luke, the 22nd chapter. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat." And they said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" He said unto them, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, 'The master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready." And they went and found as he had said unto them. And they made ready the Passover. When the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. He said unto them with desire, "I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this, divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth, as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whither is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And I said, I tell thee, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. They said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. He said unto them, it is enough. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. He said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple, and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief, with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour, and the power of darkness. And took they him and led him away, and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down amongst them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I'm not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. When they blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? Many other things blasphemously spake they against him. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people, the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, art thou the Christ? Tell us. He said unto them, if I tell you, ye will not believe. And if I also ask you, ye will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, ye say that I am. They said, what need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. May the Lord bless to us his word and help us in prayer. Gracious and holy Lord God, do help us now to draw near thy throne. In the evening hour of thy day, we pray, dear Jesus, that thou wouldst come in and tarry with us, and grant that this little sanctuary this evening may be like that road to Emmaus. Lord, do draw near. Do reveal thyself to us in the scriptures. And do open our eyes of faith to see thy wounded hands, feet and side. And may we be able to say as we leave thy courts, with his stripes we are healed. Lord, do heal those who come into thy courts, burdened and sorrowful, weighed down by sin. Lord, lead them to Calvary. Lead them to Gethsemane. Lead them to the empty tomb. And whisper pardon and peace into their souls. Quicken into life those who are dead in sin. Those who have no need of thee. Those who can do without thee. Those who have no concern or exercise over their eternal standing. Lord, give them an exercise this night. Grant direction to those that know not what way to go. Give power and will, and then command, and we will follow thee. And when we're frightened, bid us stand, and thy salvation see. Lord, do direct thy people, who stand in life's uncertain path. Direct them, Lord, in the right way, the way which thou wouldst have them to go. The way in which thou wilt go before them in it, and support, guide, uphold, and provide for them every step of the way. Do be with those who are at wit's end corner. Grant them, Lord, to know that thou art the God of the whole earth, even the end of the earth. That thou art mightier than all that troubles them. Safe into the haven guide. O, receive their souls and our souls at last. Deliver, Lord, those who feel to be in bondage. Those that feel to be chained down by Satan. Grant that they may this night walk at liberty. And Lord, if there are any who have come into thy courts rejoicing in the love of God, walking in that liberty, may it be maintained and increased this evening. May they be kept at thy feet. Do bless this people and watch over them and supply their needs. Do remember one who has had an operation and grant to him healing, strengthening, sustaining mercies, and thy blessing in his soul. and bless his family also. Remember those who are unable to be here this night, those who are looking after children and loved ones. Do draw near to them, though detained from thy courts, yet, Lord, may they prove that thou canst come and visit them where they are. Do bless the labours of the Sabbath school this afternoon and grant that the seed sown may have been sown into good hearts, good earth. Lord, may it take root downward and may it bear fruit upward. May that fruit be seen and may that fruit remain. Do then bless this people. Supply their needs. Feed their souls. Grant them the blessing of Almighty God. Bless the deacons and help them in all their responsibilities and labours in thy name. Remember the church. May they be united, exercise, praying. May the little foxes be kept out. May Satan be banished. And may they be a peaceful corner of thy vineyard, favoured and blessed by many visits from thee. May they be an exercised, living church. Lord, could it please thee to add to their number such as shall be eternally saved. Do bring in others from outside. Grant, Lord, that there may be those who see thy people coming and going from thy courts, and may they be convicted. May they have no rest until they are compelled to come into thy courts. Do bless Zion. Bless each course represented this night. Remember thy servants as they labour. Lord, may they not labour in vain. Spend their strength for naught. Do send forth more labourers into thy harvest. Do come, gracious Lord, and grant that we now may worship at the fountainhead thy mercy. Do pour in and pour out. Grant power, authority, the Holy Ghost supplying the word. Grant, Lord, thy people may be fed and watered and here to profit this night. May none be sent empty and disappointed away. We thank thee for thy mercies and plead that thou wilt be with us and abide. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Hymn number 1113. How watchful is the loving Lord, how sweet his providential word to children that believe. Your very hairs are numbered all, not one by force or chance can fall without your Father's leave. Hymn 1113.
Thank you.
Beloved friends, this evening the Lord has laid two words on my spirit to bring before you. First one you will find in the Gospel according to John, chapter 11. Closing words in the 28th verse. The Master is come and calleth for thee. And then Luke chapter 22, closing words in verse 19. This do in remembrance of me. The Master is come and calleth for thee. This do in remembrance of me. We have before us this evening the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And it is spread at the divine command of the Master. It is he who has spread the feast. And it is he, in his sovereign power, that bids the guests come to the feast. The Master. Do you know who the Master is? We all have a Master, friend. Whether we realize it or not, a Master is someone who has authority over another. A Master is someone who is obeyed. A Master is someone who is served. A Master is someone who is followed. A Master is someone who you keep company with. You and I have one Master, either Almighty God or the devil. It is one or the other. You may know who your Master is. By looking prayerfully within, who is it who you serve? Who is it that I serve? If we serve self, if we serve sinful lusts, if we spend our life doing those things which our natural flesh desires, with no thought, care or concern about Almighty God, if the world is our home and we are satisfied with it, if we secretly delight to spend our time in its company, friends, we can't call God our Master, because we neither obey him or follow him or are found in his company. Know ye not, to whom you yield yourselves to obey, servants ye are? friend one day you'll be, where your master is. If Satan is our master, the end of life's journey, we will share in his judgment, in his condemnation, in his despair. The master. But the master in our text is a different master. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. The master is come and calleth for thee. Now I don't want to touch really on the background of the text. I want to take this in a spiritual context this evening. But one thing I will say, Mary and Martha were in a providential trial. The man of the house, their brother, was dead. They had many questions. They had seemingly unanswered prayer. They had disappointment. They had shattered hopes. But the Master still came. The Master still supplied their need. You may have this evening a providential need of some kind or another. One which has caused many a prayer, many a groan, many a tear, and as yet seems unanswered. He marks that secret groan. He's seen that secret tear. And when his time, the perfect time, has come, he will come for your deliverance. There is a need be for you to pass through this trial. Just as there was a need be for this trial in John 11. It was for the calling by grace of many of the Jews of that day, when they saw Lazarus raised from the dead. They were also contained in this chapter's truths, of which have been precious to the Lord's tried people ever since, our text being one of them. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The Master is come. This Master is none other than the God-man Christ Jesus, fully God, equal with the Father, equal with the Holy Spirit. He's also fully man. He has a real body, a body that suffered. He has a real soul. He was one who was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Do you know this Master? Friends, you'll know him as truly God, and you'll know him as truly man. You will need his holy human nature. And you'll rejoice in his Godhead. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And that power is vested in him this evening. This master has almighty power because he is almighty God. This master is the creator of the earth. He's the one who created you and created me, and as such, he has a perfect, absolute right. I was going to say undisputed. But whether you dispute it or not, he has a right over you to govern. We should obey this master. Those 10 commandments which he has given were given for man's good. And if you have been taught to love the one who is called the master, if you delight and find his glorious name, one of the names of the Lord Jesus, is precious, you will delight for love's sake, not out of a legal way, but for love's sake, to seek to obey the Lord in all his commands. The Master is come and calleth for thee. And the day comes when in each of the Lord's people the Master comes. He sends his Holy Spirit into that soul to call it by grace. This is a sovereign call. Not all mankind are blessed and favored with this call. Only the sheep. Only those in the covenant of God's electing grace. Only those who he has loved with an everlasting love. Has the Master come and called you by grace? If you've never been called by grace, you'll never be called to glory. If you have been, so surely and so certainly will glory one day follow. What is it to be called by grace? Well, when the Master comes and calls, he finds that soul dead spiritually, is alive naturally, living naturally, rejoicing naturally in the cares of this life, running in the paths of sin and disgrace, but spiritually dead. No desire after God, no love after God, no desire that he should be their master and that they should obey him. His holy word is a strange sound to them. It repels them. The gospel ministry is something they will come at best at routine. They'll be glad when the service is over that they can go back to sin. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Some have been known although not called by grace, to rejoice naturally in the things of God. They love coming to chapel. They love the services. But they're still dead in sin just as much as that one who never darkens the door, or who does most reluctantly. The Master comes, in the words of the hymn, and finds this soul in a polluted, dreadful state, disordered all by sin. The Master has come and calleth for thee. The Master comes and he calls. He calls this soul to see things it's never seen before. If you are spiritually dead, you will not have spiritual sight. If you are spiritually dead, you will not have spiritual knowledge. If you are spiritually dead, you will not have spiritual love. But when the Master comes and calls that soul by grace, these things follow. Can you trace in your own heart then a change, a difference? A day when your eyes were opened to see yourself as a sinner. And not a little sinner either. A great sinner. A desperate sinner. A rebellious sinner. One who is at war with Almighty God. Because, friend, every sin that you and I commit is an act of rebellion against Almighty God. That's one of the reasons why God finds sin so hateful. Because it is rebellion against his just, holy, righteous, loving rule. Have you then been called to see yourself as a sinner? Until you see yourself as a sinner, you'll never need a physician to heal. You'll never need a saviour to save. But if once the Holy Ghost anoints your eyes and makes you see, it will make you cry for mercy. It will make you cry for help. It will give you a longing after God. A longing after salvation. A longing after that peace, which you know does endure for the sheep. But before you are to know that peace, before you are to enjoy his presence, before you are to enjoy his love, he calls you to hunger and to thirst after those blessings. Do you and I have this spiritual hunger after God? That desire for his presence? That desire for his help, that desire for his salvation. The Master is come and calleth for thee. He calls thee to the throne of grace. What a mercy it is that there is such a thing as the throne of grace. And God has promised that he will meet and answer the requests of poor sinners at that throne. And that throne of grace is not there for angels. It's not there for the self-righteous. It's not there for those who are perfect in their own eyes. It's there for sinners. Helpless sinners. Bankrupt sinners. Hopeless sinners. Deep-dyed sinners. Repeated offenders. The Master is come and calleth for thee. He calls thee to come to that throne. He encourages. To whom else can you go for eternal life? To whom else can you go with your guilt, ruin and despair, but to this glorious Master? The Master is come and calleth for thee. He may call you long to pray, to cry, to knock. And the throne of grace. Some have had to wait many years for an answer, but they've received that answer. No soul ever yet sank into hell and perished at the throne of grace, and none ever will. None ever can. Because this Master is a good Master. He's a loving Master. He's a Master who cares for those who he calls to his throne. He's a Master who loves those who he bids to come before his holy throne in prayer. He delights to see his children praying for mercy. He doesn't condemn. He doesn't frown. He doesn't drive away. Father has in Jesus stored all blessings for the poor. He is a sympathetic high priest. And he is one who stands as one who suffered in the place of all who he calls by his grace. And he intercedes on their behalf with his Father. The Master is come and calleth for thee. But let us remember, friends, that the whole Trinity are engaged here. The Father calls lovingly his children to ask for their needs to be supplied. Did our Lord say, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Take that and plead before his throne this evening. He has promised to give his Holy Spirit to them that really ask and desire it. Ask him to give you that real desire and hunger after the Blessed Spirit. And then ask him to supply that need. And he will, because he is always faithful to his holy word. And your heavenly Father knoweth what ye have need of, whether it be in your soul or whether it be in your circumstance. Whether it be in your family or in your business, He knows. He cares. He understands. And he will supply. The Master is come and calleth for thee. He's called some of you to Calvary, isn't he? And at that cross, by faith, you have read your pardon. You've seen what your sin has cost the Lord. You've heard his word, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You have by faith been enabled and privileged to behold his hands, his feet, his side, and you've seen, as the hymn writer says, mercy and love are written there. With his stripes we are healed. Friend, your highly favoured soul, if you've been called to follow that way, thank him for it. The Master is come and calleth for thee. He's called thee in measure to know that peace between God and you, that holy peace, an indescribable peace. That peace which God maintains. That peace which though you can lose the enjoyment of, yet it can never, never be broken. Peace which came at so great a cost, so great a price. The heart's blood, the Lord. The Master is come and calleth for thee. He's called thee to see the place where the Lord lay in Gethsemane's garden. And then on Calvary's cross where he hung, and then in that grave. He's called thee by faith to see him rise again for your justification. Child of God, had your sin not been paid, the Lord Jesus would never have risen from that grave. But now is Christ risen, and you are therefore justified in the sight of a holy God. You know, friend, while we should reverence a holy God, we are favoured to be among his people, you shouldn't slavishly fear and dread his holiness. His love is a holy love. His peace is a holy peace. His pardon is a holy pardon. His promises, which he has called you to hear, called you to walk in, called you to know what it is to be tried in them, and yet called you to say and to prove that he has been faithful to his word, the holy promises. One of the names of Almighty God is your Holy One. Your Holy One. the Master is come and calleth for thee. He's called thee to forsake this dying world and to see it for what it is. There was a time, wasn't there, when you loved to be in the world, loved its pursuits, its enjoyments, its pleasures, its entertainments, its company, its conversation, its lusts. Now it oppresses you. Now you'd rather be rid of it. Why? Because you've been called to a higher service. That of following the Lord Jesus Christ. The Master is come and calleth for thee. He's called thee for love's sake, to turn your back on the world. For love's sake, to come out and to be separate. For love's sake, to bear that reproach, the persecution that you have to endure sometimes. The Master is come and calleth for thee. He calls thee to follow in his footsteps. One of those footsteps is fellowship with him in his suffering. You may not understand why it is that you've had to suffer for his name's sake. Why it is you are, as it were, an outcast. Why it is you are mocked, ridiculed, despised, scorned. Christ has suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. All of the Lord's people are called in measure to follow in that way. Fellowship with him in his sufferings. Why? Because it will make you value more your pardon. It will make you value more the precious blood of Christ. It will make you value more the righteousness of Christ. You've been called to see the beauty in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Called to see and to hear those good tidings of great joy. Tidings of salvation. Tidings of pardon. Tidings of heaven at last. Master is come and calleth for thee. Sometimes he'll call you to go and to say sorry when you've wronged another. And that's not always an easy path to follow, is it? Not easy for the proud flesh. But if the Master calls, then may we be given grace to follow. And equally, if one comes to you in that spirit, the Master calls you to forgive that one. The Master is come and calleth for thee. One day he'll call thee home to glory. To hear that eternal come. Come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Call you to see by sight the King in his beauty. Call you to the highest of all services, the worship in his immediate presence of the Lamb, of the Father, of the Blessed Spirit in heaven above. Call you to that marriage supper of the Lamb, blessed are such souls who are called first by grace, who are called to desire his righteousness, who are called to have that wedding garment placed upon them, hiding their sin, who are called to depend upon this glorious Master. Call to lean upon him. They'll get safe home to land, to glory at last. Now to such souls, this Master has come and he calls them to the table of the Lord. And he says to them, this do in remembrance of me. None but those who are called by grace have a right to walk in the Lord's ordinances. Could there be any greater mockery than for one to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, for them never to know that glorious Trinity, never to know God as a Father, never to know the Son as the Saviour, never to know the Holy Spirit as the Teacher and the Comforter, never to know by faith what the emblems of his table mean. But beloved friend, to all who the Lord has called by grace, he says, this do in remembrance of me, and it is a command, which in love the Lord's people should seek prayerfully, tremblingly, to walk in. What do we remember? What do we seek to remember this evening? In the broken bread, it's the emblem of the broken body of the Lord. The emblem of that broken heart upon that cross, as he suffered the just for the unjust, and the poured out wine. If you're given eyes of faith, you see the blood that once did for sin atone, that blood that was shed for many, that blood which, child of God, was shed for you. And if it had not been shed for you, you would never have been called the way to walk that you have been. That precious blood, it speaks of that suffering that we read in Gethsemane's garden. That agony, that great sweat, great drops of blood. That strengthening which our Lord needed in his humanity. That prayer, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It speaks of that darkness on Calvary's cross, as he bore in his holy soul the unmitigated, almighty wrath of his Father against each and every sin that the whole Church of God had committed. Child of God, your sin was numbered there. He bore almighty wrath for you, that you might all his glory view. He wept. He bled. He died for you. What more, ye saints, could Jesus do? Now to those who have a hope in his mercy, to those who find his name precious, he calls to remember him. Not a sacrifice. Not need to be repeated, it's done at Calvary, never needs to be redone, nor is it saving, but it's a remembrance of his suffering, it's a remembrance of his love, It's a remembrance of the cost of our salvation. The price, his own heart's blood. This do in remembrance of me. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Friend, what right have you to refuse? Is it to the Lord's glory and honour? You stay away. May we search our hearts. Because if it is to his honour and glory that we stay away, then it means there must be something in our lives which is grieving to Almighty God, which is offensive to him, which wounds him. May we seek to know what it is. By God's grace, may it be put right. But if it is not to his honour and glory, may you be enabled by his grace, for love's sake, for the sake of the Lord Jesus, who's borne so much for you, to hear that voice. The Master is come. Present tense is come. He knows your fears. He knows your tremblings. He knows how you do not want to make shipwreck of faith, that you do not want to dishonour his great and holy name. But friend, does it not dishonour him if you do not obey him? The Master is come and calleth for thee, as it is his sovereign right so to do. And he calls his church to remember him. He hasn't forgotten his church. Not one member of his church is ever out of his thoughts. He's remembered you of his salvation. He's answered that prayer and he's visited you. May you then be enabled for love's sake to remember him. The Master is come and calleth for thee. This do in remembrance of me. And yes, believer, even for you. Yet there is room.
The collections last Lord's Day were £724, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Buss will administer the Lord's Supper after this service. There will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field, and Mr. Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Robert Field again next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn number 23. A man there is, a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran, in hands and feet and side. Hymn 23.
O Lord, do forgive. All that thy pure and holy eyes have seen wrong, in our worship, thy great and holy name, thus far this day. Do bless thy word to our souls. Lord, draw us by thy secret call, and make us follow thee. Do grant thy help now to those of us who seek to remember thy dying love. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the favour, fellowship, union and communion of God the Holy Spirit, abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.